Over the last few years, podcasts have been the fastest growing form of media, and Uncontained is a chance to celebrate some of our faves while empowering you with the skills and knowledge to start your own. Uncontained is presented by the Central Coast Council and lead by Story. This episode features an exclusive interview and a taster of Nerds Before Birds. If you like what you hear, you can go and subscribe to their show wherever you get your podcasts. The Nerds. The Nerds Before the Birds.
Hello.
Are before me.
Hello.
On my screen. It's great. Yes. It's great to see you guys. Now, nerd, obviously, there was a time in history when it wasn't the thing you wanted to be, but these days it is nerds rule the world, right?
Nerds rule the world, man. Age of the nerd.
Mm-hmm. What year do you think it changed? Was it like what moment in history did nerds go from being nerds to being like kings of the world?
I think post-graduation.
No, I reckon it's when Harry Potter became a movie. Because then people were like, oh, this is kind of sick. Okay. And then all like the wizard people were like, yeah, we know. We've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
It's weird because like we're called Nerds Before Birds, but I feel like nerds has never been cool. So
Jason's like the non-nerd in the nerd group.
He's
the nerd hater.
Both kind of derogatory terms, nerds and birds. So I was like, yeah, we even out.
This is correct. I was going to talk about this. Do you ever have birds on the podcast?
We do.
We
have one bird.
My bird.
The person that actually named the podcast.
That's right. Yeah. We should, yeah.
But and I think that's our get out of jail free card of any like sexism claims. It's not sexist because my girlfriend came up with the title. So boom.
And she did. She did come up with the title.
But isn't that the highest form of oppression when the oppressed become the oppressors? Oof. Girlfriend.
I feel like we can't really.
That's fine, man.
As we're four guys having a conversation, I don't think we can actually talk about this. We're not really at liberty to say
I feel like Jason really, well, actually, honestly, none of us were expecting these kind of questions to come at us.
Sorry.
Jason tries to pivot away from the original name and he goes like, no, it's birds in like, you know, that's what we rate things with.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
That's good.
Absolutely
that's
pivoted away.
We're just, we just really like birds. We like the you know, aviary kind
We're
of
ornithologists pet. At heart.
Well, you that's like it. Birds a that's little it. Bit, but you don't like birds as much as nerds, obviously.
That's true.
Obviously,
that's correct.
Yeah.
Nerds make better pets.
Clearly, your name is referring to the Willy Wonka like lolly over the ornithological creatures
Wonka
of
nerds.
The sky.
Yes, that's right. I would prefer to have a handful of multicolored nerds as opposed to looking at like
as opposed
the spotted
to a handful
bill
of
ravens.
I love it.
Or some seagull.
Very good.
Going back to your previous question, which I think is a more comfortable topic to talk about.
What do you think of oppression, Will?
I think nerds, it depends on who you ask. Me personally, I think nerds have always been cool. And that's because I'm a nerd. And if you ask Jason, he doesn't think.
Oh, no, I'm a nerd. I know I'm a nerd. Like, okay. I know it, but I don't know whether it's ever been cool to be a nerd. I just accept who I am.
I feel
I
like once we owned it, it became cool. But yeah, you do make a good point that when films, like when the kind of pop culture thing started going off, when things like, you know, Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Started, you know, getting noticed. Like, oh, this is actually pretty interesting.
Star Wars started getting noticed.
The late 2000s you know, were a great time for Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
finally,
man, that was a struggling saga.
It's right about the time that the prequels came out. That's when they became cool,
goodness.
Right?
Yeah. When the franchise finally got legs.
Yeah. Wow. Well, guys, if you want to continue the conversation about the gender stuff at some point, one of my podcasts is called Mankind, so we can carry that little conversation over there.
Nice.
But no, seriously,
very keen to.
I am a fan of your podcast. I'm a listener.
Cool.
Because I would sort of identify myself as a bit of a casual nerd. You know, I don't know where the scale is, but I'm definitely
you dip your toes.
Star Wars is. Star Wars has been one of the formational pieces of my life. When I was when I was a kid, my dad took me to The Phantom Menace. Whatever you think about the prequels, it's ingrained in my memory forever as this really special moment my dad took me to episode one at the movies. But what I want to ask you guys is how long were you just hanging out and breaking down movies like scene by scene before you decided to turn it into a podcast?
years. It was years.
Yeah.
So, here you go, Jace.
Yeah, I've wanted to be a filmmaker since I was like 8 years old. And so I now work as a video producer, and that's my day job. Yeah. But that has been a passion of mine for so long that it's sort of just been ingrained in me, because even going to the cinemas, like when I was 10, 11, I'd be breaking down shots, wondering how they were done, wondering what was the process behind it all, and wanting to know why things sort of occurred the way they do on screen. And I was very, in a way, I was a very critical kid of the movies that I watched because of that, because I was like deciphering them in a different sort of way than most kids. I suppose I was very weird in that way. But yeah, what about you guys?
I have a similar story to Jason, except I actually had a childhood. I could enjoy films for what they were.
enjoyed them.
Just
break them down.
He's gotten to fights with kids at school over their artistic prowess.
The mise en scene.
Incorrect. Yeah. See, you've been to Sydney's film school.
I did a film studies minor. So
yeah,
nice.
You know, I'm into
very
it.
Nice. Yeah. Very cool. So I think it's just one of those things where, like, my dad, like, film has always been in my family. My grandfather was, like, you know, at my grandfather's funeral, like, I didn't actually realize this, but everyone that got up to talk about him talked about how much he was in love with film and how as a kid he'd go and see The Wizard of Oz, like, you know, three times a week kind of thing, because he was just fascinated by it. He passed that down to his son, who then passed it down to his son or his kids. Like, it's part of that. Like, it's kind of, for me, film and, you know, cinema, it's awesome. It's my passion, but it's also kind of really integrated with my family. And
that's
my
crazy.
Upbringing. Yeah.
I have the opposite thing with my family, because I wasn't allowed to watch. I wasn't allowed to watch TV until I was 5 or 6.
Right.
Like, I never, and we didn't even own a TV until I was like 6.
What? Hang on.
Nerds, literal birds before nerds.
Yeah, that was it.
Go outside and look at the birds.
Yeah, I think that's why I got so heavily into film, is because it was like this just injection of adrenaline and everything when the first time I got to watch an actual movie.
Your rebellious nature in you decided to get into cinema.
Yeah, that was it. I showed my parents.
Yeah. Wow. I love it.
What about you, Paul?
I think growing up, I was fortunate to have people in my life who were big fans, but of specific things. So my cousin, huge Star Wars fan, and he showed me Star Wars. It's the weirdest thing. I don't understand why. There was one Christmas where I always equate Empire Strikes Back as a Christmas movie purely because there was one, like, December we're putting the tree up. We had Empire on. And it was in my head, I'm like, oh, Christmas tree, Empire Strikes Back. But he was a huge fan of Star Wars, and he sort of started this obsession. My dad is a humongous James Bond fan. So he showed me those movies way too young. Thinking back on it, like, mum would go to work and he'd be like, oh, we're going to watch, like, Jungle Book, which was just, you know, James Bond. Mm-hmm. And so he was very excited to share all of those with me. And I think through those sort of passions, that started that, like, you know, I started to then obsess with James Bond. Like, I'd have a briefcase or a little phone that I can pull apart. It's like, oh, this drives my car. And then it accelerated more into, I'm going to watch the behind the scenes on how these are all done. And just like that whole behind the scenes aspect then started to fuel that, like, break it down, see how it is. But then also, unlike Jason, I too can just sit back and think, this is stupid. I love it. I can't wait.
Yeah.
So good.
Great.
I can do that.
At what point did... just breaking down movies, being mates, hanging out, doing that sort of thing, turn into, hey, let's put some mics on, let's record some commentary, and let's make a podcast.
When they had kids.
And we couldn't get out of the house.
We had a YouTube side project, which was absolutely amazing, and picking up steam. It was growing. We're going to be the next Corridor Digital, right? And then they have kids. All of a sudden, Saturday shoots are a little bit more tricky. But hey, a Thursday night podcast is real easy.
Look, I was going to, like, I knew that Paul was going to say something like that. I knew that. I was like, I had this similar answer, just a slightly different
more tactful
perspective.
How would you share?
But no, basically, Paul's right. We started, like, because we all work together. We all used to work together. We became really good mates. We realized we could work really well together. And we started making YouTube videos, thought it was really fun, enjoyed it. But then some of us did become parents and it did start getting hard to like commit to like one video a week or one video a month or whatnot. It's just
it started as one, the idea was one consuming video a week, right?
Yeah. But then it was like, and they were like, yeah, we're not doing that. One a month
and then one every 6 months.
Yes.
Just slowly.
It was, the original plan was every 2 weeks. It was one video and then 2 weeks and then there's going to be a BTS on that video and then another two weeks and we get cracking again.
That's right.
So yeah, that was like the rotation.
Yeah. But that didn't work out too well when we started having kids.
Sure didn't.
But we still wanted to do something together because we love doing stuff together. And then this became the outlet for it because podcast became a quick, easy way to get content out there, to share us, you know, like share our opinions and views. It's also what we were already doing around the lunch table at work. We're having these conversations about movies and we were making each other laugh and we had some test audiences and they seemed to laugh and Paul and Jason are a bit confused, but I consider Ashley Williams and Philip Son, our test audience. All those film trips, all those car trips, they seem to laugh and enjoy it. So we're like, yeah, well, we should do a podcast. It was Jason's idea, actually.
Yeah, because I wanted that creative outlet, but because things were getting like, and with the YouTube stuff, we bit off more than we could chew, I feel like.
Yeah.
Because we had these massive concepts that would actually, instead of being just a week turnaround, it'd be like, you know, three months. It felt
wasn't there for it.
And the payoff wasn't there for it. And we kind of, because it was also our job, like doing video editing and stuff like that, it kind of became more work. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, we could easily churn out an episode and enjoy it and have like the fun aspect of it without the massive workload afterwards.
Mm. Yeah.
Kind of thing. And it seems we've been pretty consistent so far, haven't we, guys? Like,
we've missed 1 or 2 weeks. Well, we have a break, you know, Christmas.
Yeah. But most of the time we have.
Well, you got to have your Empire Strikes Back break, obviously.
Oh, Christmas. Exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Got to celebrate the magic that is off.
I love it. Actually, you know, for me, it makes me think of a few things. So this is part of a podcasting festival, which is all about inspiring people to make a podcast. And what I'm hearing and what you're saying is, one, it's something that does fit around different life stages. You can have young kids and you guys can be sitting in your homes recording through the magic of technology. Mm. When it's all edited together, it sounds like you're in the same room. And what I love about it as well is this is a podcast that's kind of just built around friendship and connection and passion that you then pass those things on to other people. And what I love about this kind of podcast, and I feel like this about a lot of podcasts, is as a listener, I kind of get to feel like I'm in the room with you guys. And so I feel like I'm part of that connection.
That's cool.
And
that's good.
So, you know, it's not about necessarily reaching the masses. It's about this thing that you love that actually is, you need connection when you become a parent, right? Mm. Or when life changes. And that's then you get to share it with other people.
Definitely not about reaching the masses.
No.
Because,
if it was like, about numbers, we would have given
it's
up.
It's never
on
about
this.
Numbers. Let's not talk about numbers. Because, like, literally, when we started, we had three listeners. We had my mom, we had Paul's mom, and we had Dean's mom.
No. Yeah.
Now, Dean's mom's not listening.
No, Dean's mom dragged him online. Absolutely just flamed him in our forum.
No, we're actually doing all right. Like, it's actually growing, and I was actually pretty impressed by like the recent numbers. And like, you do, when you do get into a podcast, I get obsessed by how we're growing and where it's going to, and how many numbers we're actually getting. And it's cool when you actually do see the growth. And I know that we're in a sort of market that is oversaturated in a lot of ways because there's a lot of nerdy podcasts out there.
Yeah,
but it's the fastest growing medium.
Yeah,
like, I think that's podcast. Fastest growing podcast.
Fastest growing podcast.
We only started last week. We're already in 2K views. Yeah. What of it?
Huge. But Dean, you'd never listened to a podcast before.
I was not a podcaster.
Yeah.
No. So I didn't understand what the excitement of listening to people talk about things was. Like, yeah, don't you just do that in real life?
Yeah.
Can't you just go out and talk to someone? I didn't understand the concept of listening to other people talk until I got into podcasting.
That's a classic podcast virgin response right there.
Yeah. But no, I kind of get it now.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's a very common experience. Honestly, people are like, mm-hmm. You talk about podcasts all the time, Will. Why would I want to just listen to people talk? And then, you know, a few months pass and they're hooked. And the ABC podcast research says that 89% of Australians are aware of podcasting. And then of people that listen, podcasts are listened to 80% of the way through, or 80% of podcasts listened to are listened to the full way through, which is massive. Then most podcast listeners are listening to six podcasts a week. They have one day off listening to a podcast. But once you're in, you're hooked.
Yeah, so, now I think it does definitely have something to do with what you were talking about, Will, how you feel engaged. You feel like you are part of the conversation, even though you're just listening. Like, personally, I now think of Hamish and Andy and Cohen Ray and Tim Ferriss as my mates.
See, I grew up going through late high school and uni.
Mm.
There's a company online called Rooster Teeth, and they had this podcast. They years ago, they've been running for about 15 years, their podcast. Wow.
Yeah.
And so they sort of got in on the ground roots, but
they're ancient.
You listen to this podcast and all they do is just talk about stuff going on in their lives. But then when you go to a convention and they're there, you have this this extra sense of familiarity with them. You can go up and say, hey, how is this going? Mm-hmm. How are you going with this? How is your life? Because I know what you're going through, because you talk about it every week. And it's the weirdest thing that you're becoming friends with people you never meet. But it is also a nice little bit of sort of camaraderie in an area when, you know, you're alone driving to work, but you're hanging with your mates.
And for sure. Also, the engagement that we get from our listeners is pretty, pretty cool. It's not it's not heaps, but for the amount of people that are actually listening to our podcast, the amount of responses that we get online to things that are posted is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm. And every time, I got a handful of friends that listen and love it, and a smaller handful of friends that come up to me is like, oh, look, if you hadn't have done that podcast on that movie, I would never have watched that movie, kind of.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and actually, our mutual friend Lewis watched A Quiet Place because we did a podcast on A Quiet Place, and I was like, yes, I feel proud that I did something that's made you watch an amazing film and get that kind of... Yeah, get that into you a bit, but
you're making a difference.
We need to contact the studio that did A Quiet Place and demand a
marketing check. Oh, yeah, we need to get a release of that.
I think so.
Let's not demand a marketing check from the most recent one. Hey, let's just skip that one.
Oh man.
Well, I love it. I love the banter. I love movies. I actually love watching a movie and then listening to people break it down. I don't know if you guys do this, but I every time I watch a movie, I go straight to Rotten Tomatoes and stuff after I watched it to read the reviews. Yep. You just want to be part of the conversation, right?
I often do the mistake of doing Rotten Tomatoes before the movie, which is never a good idea.
That's not a good idea.
No.
Well, unless it's 10% and then you're like, no.
had to wait when we did the Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. I had to wait until other podcasts came out because we tried to hit that one really quickly. Just to capitalize on our time frame. But when the movie finished, I'm like, I just need to listen to another podcast. I need someone to confirm with me that this movie sucked. I need validation. I need to just argue with somebody.
Sure.
It's very quick, very easy to find.
And we agreed on that, right?
We all hated it.
Well, you guys, I wasn't part of that podcast, you guys did a really good job. That's right. I had another kid.
We couldn't film on Saturday.
But no, you guys managed to convince Will that Star Wars 9 sucked as well. So.
Yes. Sorry.
Thanks, guys.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
I was going to figure it out sooner or later. So I just
you had to see it eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say, now I really enjoy doing this podcast because we're not working together. It is now the best outlet. It's shut up. But this is the way that I still get to talk to my mates, and this is how we get to catch up. And so now it's all like a more important part of the day, of the weekly routine. Just to get a little bit emotional. Get some realness into this.
We're kicking Dean out of the podcast, but he doesn't know it yet.
Can you respond to my email? Are you in next Thursday? Or?
Sorry, I missed that, Jason.
I'm in.
Can you say that again?
I'm in.
Okay, great.
Okay, cool.
Dean, can you stay on the call after we go?
Yeah, I'll hang around.
So you guys have the challenge now of doing a taster ep. Now, I know your eps are kind of long form, you know, hanging out, banter.
Yep. Yeah.
You got to do a 15 to 20 minute taster. And the idea of this is that people will kind of get a little bit of that flavoring in their mouth, and then they're going to go across. They're going to hit subscribe. They're going to listen to that Quiet Place episode. They're going to go watch that movie. They're going to come back and listen again for some confirmation, you know, et cetera. So I'm going to play your podcast intro.
Before you begin, how hard is this 20-minute rule, right?
Well, let's just say
fast and loose. Or?
Let's just say we've gone quite over on the intro here.
Okay.
So we're not... We're not setting a good example for ourselves.
It's a taster. All right.
But I'm going to, when you're getting over that 15, closer to 20 mark, I'm going to consider what kind of things I can put in the chat in Zoom.
Okay.
All right.
We'll get like a lot of stop. Well,
you'll get some Star Wars memes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, great. Okay.
Conveniently, we've scripted some things, so hopefully we stay on script.
Oh, scripted.
Yes, first time I've ever done this.
First time Dean's ever scripted something.
First time they've ever done it.
And then we're going to see it.
Like, I'm always like scripting.
Maybe you should just play the intro.
Let's get it.
Let's go.
Okay, so once the intro finishes, I'm going to give you a thumbs up because I don't think you can hear it, but I can hear it. So I'm going to listen to your excellent intro, and then you guys will take over.
Yeah.
Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, okay.
Hi, I'm Dean.
I am Paul.
And I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things film and pop culture. This week on the show, we are ranking the six, because that's a number, the six 100% scientifically proven ways to survive the apocalypse according to movies.
It's a number that's easily divided by three.
Exactly.
So yes,
well,
it
that's
is.
That's why, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So two. we thought we'd compile this list.
Correct.
Yeah, it's one and a half each, right?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. This is not a math podcast.
It's barely a film podcast.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
It's definitely not a pop culture podcast.
100% scientifically proven ways to survive the apocalypse according to movies. It's quite the title, but we're going to jump straight in with number one, and that is my one because we
divided it. Convenient, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah, it is convenient. Wow. But yeah,
I'll see how you did this.
Yeah. Let the man talk.
They're all mine, actually, but no.
Wow.
So the first thing you need to do if you really want to survive the apocalypse is you need to cast your apocalypse. So it's really important that you get your band of survivalist misfits together, and out of these misfits you need five characters, and those five characters are your first one, which is the main guy. He's usually an anti-hero nomad type.
Try and make that yourself as well.
Yeah, if you can. Yeah.
Or if you can. It's not always the character that you want to be, but if you can be it, it'd be great.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That's the goal.
Sometimes it doesn't work out for this character, so maybe you want to be another character.
It depends on how long the season goes.
It does.
It's all good seasonal. La-di-da, Mr. Amazon.
So this character has a tragic past that predates any of the movie apocalyptic events.
Of course.
They are brooding and mysterious, and they can't settle anywhere because just really they've just got to keep moving around for reasons. There's no real reason Nope. They have to move around.
They just have to move, man. They got the itch.
They're just going to do it. They're going to do it.
Moving is surviving. That's the honest, like, reality of an apocalypse.
Is it, though?
Yeah. Ride or die. Literally, yeah, right?
Ride or die.
Yeah, it's the Fast and the Furious apocalypse. So they will ultimately, they'll save the day and either ride off into the sunset or they'll or die sacrificing themselves for the next character on the list. And that is the vulnerable family member who doesn't actually have to be related to the main character. So you have to have these two characters at least. So they could be a child or a person with some sort of condition that would create added drama for the apocalypse. So, you know, like they need insulin.
Yeah.
They might need a deaf puffer. They could be deaf.
Quiet Place.
Yep. So we're looking at World War Z, A Quiet Place, The Road, Children of Men. Yeah, they're all got pre-existing conditions. Yeah. Then you have the expendable character, and this is the one that you just want to be able to run
the meat shield. In.
Yeah, the meat shield. Yeah, that's the guy that he doesn't really last long. He lasts about 25 minutes, right, into the episode.
He's the guy. He's like he's like, oh crap. He's like Switch from the Matrix. Like they're literally only in the movie to show you how they're going to die.
Yeah, literally. That's it. And then the fourth character out of my five, so I've broken my list down into, you know, I've got heaps.
Probably five.
Do we need to explain why we're doing this?
No.
Like why we're No.
Okay, no, we're just cool. We're just
we need to
go.
Explain why we're explaining an apocalypse, Dean, really. Flick on a TV. Say what's going on.
Yeah. So you've got the reboot character. So the reboot character is this can also be the antagonist. So this is the person that was a loser or a nobody before the apocalypse, but afterwards they have developed some loyal cult-like following. And that's mainly if they're the antagonist, they've developed that.
Yeah.
And if they're the protagonist, they have the necessary survival skills to easily navigate the post-apocalyptic landscape.
Who knew a pizza delivery driver was going to have the highest like odds of surviving?
Yes, Zombieland, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm talking about Baby Driver.
Walking Dead.
Yep.
Like, hang on a second, that's not an apocalypse movie.
Baby Driver.
Good though.
So,
but he would survive an apocalypse for sure.
So you can have all these characters, and then if you can't get all of these characters, all you really need is you need the main character and you need a dog.
A dog.
Because the dog will replace any other character. It's sort of interchangeable. But so, you've also got to remember to cast your environment, because your environment is what will decide what you're going to wear, because this will bring us into point number two, right?
Yeah, point Which number is, two, guys. And nothing says what type of environment you're in than dressing for your apocalypse. Okay?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's probably the most important thing that you can do in an apocalyptic situation. Now, let me hit you with some hot science that I've found. I'm not going to give you the sources, but here we go.
You're like, so, my journal.
It just says, a science of US article, right? It shows you that your clothing affects your performance. For example,
for sure.
If you wear a lab coat like a doctor, it can make you focus better.
I believe that.
Yeah. No, yeah, yeah. Really? Or even, here we go, here's a good one. If you wear a watch, it suggests reliability and that punctuality is a great concern to you. So what you're going to wear in this upcoming end of the world situation, it actually matters, man. Like, it matters a lot. Further example, here we go. You like this one? You'll notice when Barack Obama was doing his addresses, if he was in a crowd of working class Americans, he would always wear no jacket and roll his sleeves up. And that silently communicated that he too was a hardworking fella.
Oh, what?
Of
course.
I know.
I can see it. Yeah. I can see that, it.
It's all mind games, man. Yeah. So you've got to start playing mind games with your other survivors. And here's some tips that I've got for you, okay?
Okay.
If you wear all black, it suggests that you're tough and you have a brutal backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing says strength and safety is important to you like a shoulder slung shotgun. Mm-hmm. Okay. So keep that in mind.
Yep.
Always wear sunglasses.
Yeah.
Even if there's no sun, sunnies all the time. Never wear a red shirt unless you have a death wish. And finally, a mouthful of silver spray paint suggests that you're gang affiliated.
Oh, nice.
Yes, it does.
So, and you also, whatever the apocalypse is, you need to always look heavy metal.
That's of course. Like,
that's,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just, that's it. And don't worry about hair gel. Works. There'll be plenty to go around.
There'll be so much
Everyone
hair gel.
Will have hair gel.
You basically need to LARP.
Yeah.
You need like medieval armor. That looks kind of like picture like you go into a My Chemical Romance concert. That is your apocalypse. Mohawks, the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Is it my turn?
I hope so.
Okay, I was just like, I don't know. Oh, look, Jason gave you a segue.
I'm giving you nothing, man. You want to know why, Dean? Because okay, I'm wearing black and I'm tough. You figure yourself out. There you
go. I'm going to hang around with you.
You're the first
to cast you in my pot. Now, we should reiterate that we at Nerds Before Birds believe that this whole pandemic is going to, you know, go away. We're going, if we stay safe and isolate, this will get better.
No.
We're going to be great. But on the flip side,
I forgot that Dean has to disclaim everything he said. Yeah. I forgot about that one. Sorry.
Look, this is part of my script.
Oh, is it?
If it doesn't, we want to prepare you guys.
We've got 20 minutes, man.
I know. And so that's why we are preparing you according to cinema. Now, listen, number three, the biggest, most important thing you need to know in an apocalypse is don't tell your friends your bit. So, we all know what we're talking about here. The most exciting, most annoying moment in any episode, film, or graphic novel. Nobody wants to hear your sob story about how some undead idiot got the jump on you.
No one likes a dobber.
It's
super awkward too, because you just have one person that's like standing over there debating whether to kill you or
you're right.
And what it basically says is like, guys, pay attention to me.
No one likes an attention grabber. All it does is slow down the pace. Yeah. Everyone suddenly has to stop to try and feel like
stop
rigging up the big oil tanker over there to explode. Instead, now they have to spend the next 20 or 30 minutes trying to decide how to deal with your crap. And it's just best just to leave it for a while.
Yep.
Because trust me, it's far more exciting for everyone if they only find out when you're trying to bite their neck off.
Yeah. It's like when you get like a six pack of chicken McNuggets, okay? You expect six.
Okay.
You open the box, seven.
Seven. Exactly. What a surprise.
How exciting.
Now, allow me to demonstrate this with a quick scenario. Now, I sent you all scripts. I'm sure you have them.
All right, let's go.
Ready? Let's go. Okay. So here we go. Scene one. Oh boy, what a day. Man, that got a bit dicey for a minute there. Did not expect the herd that big, but hey, we did really well, all things considering. Check out all this loot we got from the saviors. Plus, they're in for a big surprise tonight when we finally...
Hey guys.
Finally blocked them.
Guys, I got bit.
Sorry, Paul.
I got bit.
Where?
On my neck here.
Oh no. Yeah. No, bloody hell. What do we do, Jason?
We go over to the corner and we're going to debate whether we kill Paul or not. That's just what we're going to do.
That's not what it was written in your script, but okay. good improvisation there. Anyway, look, let's just stop what you're doing. The epic explosive finale will have to wait until next week while we deal with Paul.
Sorry, guys.
Also, I'm happy to do it if everyone else is too soft. Now, let's go to another example. Yep. This is a better example.
Okay.
Oh boy, what a day. Man, that got a bit dicey for a minute there. Did not expect a herd that big, but hey, we did really well, all things considering. Check out this loot we got from the saviors. Plus, they're in for a big surprise tonight when we finally...
Hey, guys.
Yeah, mate?
Nothing.
That's a bit weird, but okay. Tonight, we finally blow up their secret base. Let's go, team.
Let's go.
Fast forward a bit. Oh, man, that was so awesome. Can you believe how big that explosion was? Wow, what was your favorite thing about it, Jason? What a great improviser you are, mate. Look, okay, whatever. What about you, Paul? He's biting. Okay, now, Jason, I'm going to send you a line because you obviously didn't get your script. So here's your line.
Oh, no. It's to be continued.
Well done.
There you go. Epic season finale. What are you talking about? Now, look, I need to clarify that this is zombie apocalypse specific advice, and this does not apply to other apocalyptic subgenres. So once again, as I'm sure you've already, like we've mentioned, be aware of your surroundings. So say, for example, COVID-19 doesn't turn out to be like to turn most of the population into the living dead, and this is just your good old-fashioned garden variety pandemic. Or if it manages to turn into the slightly more exciting nuclear holocaust and a mutant dog bites you, please tell someone and seek immediate medical attention. And hey, if you walked outside right now and your neighbor bites you, then yeah, I recommend telling someone. In fact,
why are you going against your own point? You just said don't tell anyone.
But if this is, in fact, Zombieland,
you don't need
and
to disclaim
you do get
it.
Bit, then please, please, for the sake of the narrative, please keep it to yourself.
Always wear long sleeves and pants so you can hide it.
That's it. Point over.
Is it number four yet?
Number
God, I
four.
Hope so. Okay.
So, wow. Okay. So, number four is you always have to have an empty jerry can. Like, this is very important. So, even though petrol has a shelf life that is around 6 months, don't even think about riding a bike or something that's not powered by petrol. Just get your jerry can and walk around wander around the desolate streets with the jerry can in hand, ready to manually pump up some fuel from abandoned petrol station.
Definitely needs to be empty, doesn't it?
Suck it out of a fuel tank.
Yeah.
There's a good chance you'll encounter someone on the way, and also hundreds of years after the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Yeah. People will still get canned food from those service stations.
Yes.
Jason, so, if I already have a jerry can, but it is filled with fuel,
you need to get rid of that fuel.
Okay. Yes.
How else are you going to fill it up? If it's already full, you're not going to be able to fill it up.
Yeah, you've got me, guys. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good, man.
Yeah. That's me. That brings me right on to point five.
My second point. Now, look, similar to what Jason said, you've got to cast your apocalypse. Now, kids can be mean. Social castes are a real, real terror. Try as much as you want. God knows we have. You can't be cool just by wanting it. So in this scenario where you're not the heroic, you know, heroine of the movie, make sure you're best friends with these characters, okay? Nothing says expendable like being like a friend or an acquaintance. So you need to, you know, get to understand your body language, read people, and figure out, you know, that if someone has an air of success around them, usually by how they're dressed, and you don't have to become friends with them, you've got to become best friends. You've got to become like those brothers who like spit on their hands and then shake. You need to be to that level. Now,
maybe not right now, but in a couple of months.
You got to get in. You got to get into it right now. Now is the time to lay the groundwork. Nothing says I care about you than by already trading fluids and knowing, sweet, we're safe. We can trust each other.
Paul's views and opinions do not represent all of
them. I'm sorry. This is science, man. It's all science. It's real news. But I've got some instances where this is applicable and instances where this is not applicable. So, for example, zombie apocalypse, you got to be the best friend. You have to be the best friend. Freak environmental disasters, all of your college friends and the ones who are just acquaintances, dead straight away. You're going to use their corpse as a bed, but your best friends will live forever. Someone who's been entrusted to protect you, be friends with them as well, because they're going to do a great job. And I've also got family. Now, where this isn't applicable is if you're a dog, it's not going to work. Life is going to be rough for you.
You don't want to be there.
No, you don't want to be there.
You don't want to be the dog in the zombie apocalypse.
No. Nope. You are going to be
even in the Mad Max apocalypse. You don't want to be the dog.
You just never want to be a dog in the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Whenever the threat will not kill you, that's okay. So like, you know, if it's a little bit chilly or you know, if the zombies are really, really bad, but eventually they have a cure where you're still a zombie, but you're a little bit more placid. And finally, if your best friend has the heart of the ocean and she won't move over on the door that she's floating on, being the best friend will not help you there. You're dead.
Wow.
We're talking apocalypse movies, right?
The whole boat sank, Jason.
Yeah.
That's pretty apocalyptic.
That was a...
Sorry if it's not a garden variety, you know, meteor coming to Earth.
Yeah, okay, yeah, right. You got me there. Fair enough.
There you go.
Yeah, it was the science. You flashed the science. It's, in front
I dazzle with my science.
Out. You're
Titanic.
Right. It definitely does. Yeah. All right.
Sight.
So before I go on to my last point, I have two questions for Will. I have two questions. One, how are we doing for time? And two, is this getting too morbid for this podcast?
I'm going to answer them backwards. No.
Okay.
And
excellent.
Wrap it up.
Okay. Don't worry.
The apocalypse of the podcast is closing in.
We got it, and we appreciate your terminology.
Dean will now start his 5-minute disclaimer.
Also, just to add a couple more seconds for a valid point, it's okay to be a dog if you're in Fallout 4.
Oh, look at this guy. Yes.
That's fair.
Yep.
We're only talking movies, but okay.
We do sometimes do pop culture.
Watch where you're stepping, okay? Yeah, this is our podcast.
But seriously, though, thank you for having us. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, no, we really appreciate it.
I think I'm just going to move on to my point. Yep, don't worry. It's okay. I haven't scripted any scenarios for this. So, number six, and I feel like this is probably, it's good that this is the last point because it's important.
Come on.
Have a katana or a friend named Katana. Now, as opposed to my previous point about not telling your friends your bit, this point can actually be utilized for any type of apocalyptic subgenre. No matter what apocalypse you might find yourself in, there are always dangers around you, so you need to arm yourself. So go out there and get yourself a weapon. Yep. And the coolest, most effective weapon, as proven by science and cinema,
friendship,
is a katana.
Katana.
Almost. That's the second most important.
And you know what? The good thing about a katana is that it's a great weapon that if you're blind, you can just wield it. Like, it just doesn't matter. Like,
probably better if you're blind. If you wield a katana, it is scientifically proven that you will last until the end of the movie or at least three seasons. They are seriously the coolest, and you kind of have to take my word on it and trust the science here because I spent too long writing those previous scenarios and I ran out of time to write anything for this. But anyway, for some you can't find a katana. For some reason, you can't find a katana anywhere. Then you better bloody well have a friend named Katana that will slice all the bad guys for you. People named Katana don't necessarily have to wield a katana, but it's kind of implied in the name. Yep. Also, it
most likely they're hackers or they're roller derby enthusiasts.
Yes, and it's also slightly disappointing if you don't have a katana. People named Katana are slightly more rare than actual katanas, but boy, are they badass.
Yeah, and especially if it's katana wielding a katana, that's
oh my gosh, like, it's that's what you want. That is that, it.
Yeah, you're and set.
Yes, I guess you could just legally change your name to Katana, but that takes a lot of time and paperwork, and you really have to time it properly to align with the start of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're stuck with the name Katana in a basically normal world. See, Katana in post-apocalypse, cool. Katana pre-apocalypse, kind of weird.
Can you imagine your accountant's name, Katana?
Exactly. Now, look, no offense to anyone listening who is actually named Katana. I'm sure you're really cool and badass. And also, I want to be your friend. Yes. And that is the end of my point. In a few months. Let's schedule in a date.
There we go.
Thank you so much, Will.
Thank you very much for having
us. That was awesome.
That brings us to the end of this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed the micro show, whatever this is.
Bit different to our usual format.
A little bit different, but it's the first time in ages we've done a ranking.
Yeah.
I don't remember the last time we did a ranking.
Well, you said list episodes don't do well, so we stopped doing them.
Yeah, well, that's why we did it.
Thank you, Will, for giving us the opportunity to do another ranking things because I really like the ranking things and I don't think we should worry about how many listeners
we get. I'm a fan of the ranking. I would have thought the rankings...
Excellent.
I would have thought rankings did do well.
No. But,
apparently not.
There you go.
But
do you want to include your seventh point, Will?
Look, the point is... This is good because if this is... Yeah. If this is like the worst Nerds Before Birds... And if people like this a little bit, then they can go over to the rest of your episodes, your non-ranking episodes, and they're going to have a great time. It's not going to be any worse than this, right?
That's true. This is the worst. just
skip the first 10, maybe.
Yeah.
It's worse.
Yeah. Skip season one.
Awesome.
This was one of our better podcasts, but probably shouldn't say that. All our podcasts are great. Listen to us. Thank you.
People can find you. Nerds Before Birds Pod. Is that the Instagram?
No, it's just Nerds Before Birds on everything except for Twitter, where it's Nerds... it's Nerds Before Birds on everything except for Twitter, where it's Nerds Before Bird. It's, just
singular.
No, we've only been doing this for 90 episodes.
Yeah, we have only been doing it. It's 96 episodes we've done.
We're going to crack
it. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And each of them go for about an hour and a half kind of thing. So
we are going to hit 100 this year.
Yep.
And that's going to be awesome.
In probably a matter of weeks.
Yes. That
is impressive. Well, peeps, get on over and subscribe to Nerds Before Birds. Thank you guys so much for being a part of Uncontained Festival of the Podcast. And I look forward to being a guest a guest nerd at some point in the future on your podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely lock it in.
No, thank you for having us, man.
I have more non-video game thoughts to contribute. As I said,
sweet.
I did do film studies at uni.
Yes.
Oh, great.
Well, I know some stuff.
No,
well, hopefully you don't get yelled at by Jason.
At least, wait, like, you've got a qualification, and that will be more than all of us. So, yeah. Well, not actually all of us. Just
we
one
went
of
to
us.
Sydney's film school. We had a qualification.
How
and
dare you? I'm qualified. Wank.
Will, would love to have you on our podcast, especially when there's no time limit and we can just ramble on forever.
Oh, we're pushing it already.
Sounds great. Sounds great.
Sweet. Awesome.
In the meantime.
Very cool.
Catch you guys again soon.
See you later, man.
Au revoir. Right.
See ya.
Bye.
Uncontained has been brought to you by the Central Coast Council and Lead by Story. For more podcasting resources and great local shows, head to leadbystory.com.au/uncontained. We would love it if you could leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts so more people can find this content. Catch you next time. And remember, no great idea should be contained.